You were born into the distilling family. Did you always have the expectation of becoming a master distiller?
Well, I kind of did in the back of my mind, but my father, Booker No, always kind of held me at arm's distance and kept saying, you know, don't bank on this being here. Keep your options open. His one rule for me was finish college, and then he would talk about letting me come to work. And after a long time and a lot of his money, I finally got out of college. And I thought about doing some other things, but in my heart, I think the bourbon making was there, and that's what I decided to do, and I've been doing it now for right at 30 years.
You went on the road with Hank Williams Jr. for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, that kind of forced my dad's hand a little bit because they didn't have a job readily available when I did finally finish college. And I can remember telling my dad, I think I might go to work with Hank out on the road. You know, he was needing a road manager. And suddenly they found a spot for me, night shift bottling line supervisor. And my dad made a comment that ain't no life for me or you, boy. And so the Hank Williams Jr. deal went away. Dad went to a few concerts, and he kind of saw all the carrying on that went on before and after and sometimes during some of the concerts. He knew that wouldn't be a good life for me, but it was fun. I ran around and saw a lot of stuff, you know, back when I was young and dumb.
And Hank was, and I assume still is, one of your best customers, huh?
Oh, yeah. Hank still enjoys the bourbon quite a bit. He played there in Louisville this summer. I went down and went to the show and visited with him a little bit before the concert. Had a little toddy, and everything was good. Yeah. Old friend.
Well, master distillers obviously don't make a whiskey and other spirits. You're kind of ambassador for the industry now, and it has really been undergoing quite an unprecedented boom, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, bourbon is really, really getting more popular around the world, not just in the United States. And, you know, in the role of a master distiller, you know, when my dad did it when I was a kid, the role was be at the distillery and physically be there and twist the valves and make sure the product coming out was of high quality. Now, that's still part of the job, but you need to be able to go out on the road and speak about the products and be able, you know, to talk about it, let people meet you. And, you know, you've become more, the distillers have become more marketing tools than production tools.
I should mention, you and I are from the same hometown, kind of acquainted, but I remember your dad, Booker, one of the great colorful characters in Bardstown. And if I remember correctly, he enjoyed Jim Beam in a rather tall glass with some water, right?
Oh, yes, sir. He called his bourbon and water Kentucky tea. And a reporter, I never will forget, asked him, why do you drink Kentucky tea? And my father always had an answer for every person in the world. And he said, why would I flavor my water with tea leaves when I can flavor my water with bourbon? And so that was Dad's way of, you know, it would be like one part bourbon, four parts water. And he drank it with dinner. He just enjoyed bourbon. It was his life.
Yeah. Well, how do you like to drink it?
I like water, ice, and, you know, maybe a little more bourbon, a little less water. I, you know, enjoy my bourbon and water quite a bit. Sometimes neat. As the weather gets a little cooler, I see myself doing less ice and less water to get a little warmth from the bourbon. But I do enjoy a good cocktail as well. You know, you get a good mixologist mixing up a traditional whiskey sour or a Manhattan. I've been known to partake in a few cocktails as well.
Well, the name of the book is Beam Straight Up, The Bold Story of the First Family of Bourbon by Fred. No, Fred, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.